All right, Rocket football fans, the Cubs have done it. Baseball season's over officially, and now it's playoff time for football. Crittenden County hosts Fort Knox for the first time ever these two teams have played. The Eagles come in at 2-8 Friday night at 2 Rocket Stadium to take on the 4-6 Crittenden County Rockets. Coach Starnes, it's always exciting to play new teams.
Yeah, you know, we like new teams coming into our place, and you know, they don't know what to expect from us, and vice versa, we don't know what to expect from them. You know, but when it's a home field advantage, then, you know, we like those new people coming and experience our place, and hopefully, you know, they can get an idea of what the Rockets are and hear the blast and things like that.
A lot of blast.
You know, we hope so, Chris. We hope that that Ronnie Myers has enough of those things, and Derek Myers is our pyrotechnic guru, so he fires them all. So hopefully it'll be a good night for us, and you know, we're looking forward to playing Fort Knox, somebody we haven't played before.
You know, this team hasn't had a whole lot of success lately. They were a powerhouse back 20, 25 years ago, won 3 state championships, played in 2 others, but the past 33 games, they've only won 5. So it's been a tough road for Fort Knox. I think they've lost a lot of their population there on the base, downsizing the military, moved some of the armor divisions out. So they've gone from 2A down to Class A, and they've really struggled on the football field.
Yeah, and I think it's the atmosphere that they are, and not knowing who's going to be in the base for, you know, that week, or, you know, they come and go. So I know if you get what I've always heard is, like Fort Campbell, if you get a general that supports athletics, then, you know, he can help you out, and or she can help you out. And so I don't know what the dynamics of that have been the past few years or several years, but, you know, Fort Knox is not what they used to be. But I can tell you what, they're going to come in, and I know that from what I've read about this coach, you know, he's talking about the new Knox and all that coming in and trying to get it back the way it used to be. And I really think that in their mindset that they're going to come here and say this is another step forward. Then beating Caverna to get third last year, they were fourth in the district. Caverna beat them. This year they were third in the district, so that's another step forward. And I think that they're telling their players right now that, you know, they beat Crittenden County, who was second, and that's another step that they can take towards the new Knox, and we can't allow that to happen.
This team, I looked at a little of the footage on the Huddle program online, and they look a little like maybe a Fulton County or Fulton City or a Todd County Central type team. That doesn't look overall like they're really a strong team, but have 3 or 4 athletes that can create some problems for you.
Yeah, I think they're more like Todd Central than mm-hmm. the Fulton schools. I think that they have a couple kids that if they really want to play, they can dominate up front. And I think they're Gore brothers. I don't know them, but I think mm-hmm. that they are. They're 6'3", 230, 240.
I think one of them came out just in the middle of the season, the way
we have film for him in the early part of the season. I could see him on the sideline. Mm-hmm. So he didn't come out. He was just hurt.
Oh.
And so now he's back. Okay. And so I think that makes him a better ball club. And to me, it was, you know, we watched the Campbellsville game, and it to me looked like that it was a complete different team from the fourth week of the season to the last game of the season. So that's what concerns me. You know, that they're going to come in and we have to make sure that we are fired up and excited about this game. And as I told the players, that if we don't come out excited and we come out flat, and we make mistakes, and we, you know, like we're prone to do sometimes because of a young team, then this team right here could go away with a win, and we don't need that to happen. We don't need our season to end this week at home playing the third seed from the other district.
A team that we are certainly favored to beat. Now, they have an offense. It's a little bit unusual. It's maybe a cross between the old single wing and the wing tee, and then they'll spread it out some. So it's something they've drawn out on a napkin, maybe. I don't know. But
well, I don't know that they drew it on a napkin, but I mean, back in the 60s, they used
it. Used the wing tee a yeah, lot.
They used the single wing, and so, that, you know, it's a version of that single wing. But, you know, I'm going to tell you, it really doesn't matter, and I've always said this, that it doesn't matter what you do, it's how you do it. And so if you're a spread team and you do it well, you're going to have success. If you're a single wing team, you're going to have success if you do it and do it well. I talked to my buddy in Tennessee, Rod Sturdivant, who was the head coach at Brewston when he hired me out of college, and you know, was telling him about Fort Knox and a single wing. And he said that Huntington runs a single wing, and they do it real well. And you know, they have success with it. So if you have the personnel to do it, you can do it well. If you remember correctly, you know, Mayfield ran the wishbone with two tights for a long time and had much success with it. So, and they went to the spread right now and having success with the spread.
So you've had to go back and dust off the old recipe book, huh, and see how to defend this type
Yeah, I mean, I had to go back and see what it was called. In fact, I didn't know what it was called. And, you know, Jared Brown, you know, comes up and said, "Coach, this looks like the old single wing stuff." And I said, I don't know if it is or not. So he researched it, went back and researched it, and sent me an email and said, "You know what? It is the old single wing. Here it is." And he found it. So, you know, they have their version of it. You know, they have the little nuances off of it. You know, so, you know, we're just going to have to understand that we know what they're going to do when they line up in certain formations, and we're going to have to make the play.
It looked like they were fairly predictable. What I didn't watch a whole lot of film, but they did look fairly predictable.
Well, it is very predictable. If you know, 25 is going to get the ball 75% of the time. That's,
yeah, he's their star player. Yeah.
You know, so wherever we got,
or 44,
we got to know where he is all the time. Uh-huh. You know, when they give it to 44, generally they're going to run an ISO or a power.
Yeah.
You know, when and you watch 25 is the one that makes things happen. They line them at receiver. Mm-hmm. They throw to them. They line them up at the little knob, what we call knob back, little blocking back. They're either going to run it with him or throw a screen.
Snap it to him sometimes.
That's what I'm talking about. They're going to run him it. Uh-huh. If they line him up at quarterback, they're going to run a sweep with him. If they line him up at running back, they're going to hand it to him. So, you know, we know what they're going to do.
But they do not throw the ball well. We can see that.
Well, I mean, I don't know that. I mean, you know, we saw, I don't think that they had to throw the ball that much in the games that we watched them. But, you know, we know that he threw the ball to, and I'm talking about several times on just a one receiver route. You know, you watch the film, and the receiver is trying to block. Doesn't block, but is trying to block. The wing back is blocking. The only person in the route is the tight end. And a tight end goes out for a pass and a touchdown. So, you know, we have to be disciplined and know that our secondary has got to eyeball the tight end. The tight end releases, it's a pass. Mm-hmm. You know, so we cannot come up on when it's a pass, we can't come up thinking it's a run because our eyes in the backfield and thinking play action. You know, we can't do that. If it's a run, we got to react to run. If it's a pass, react to the pass.
They've completed 15 passes all season long. So, you know, they don't do it much. And they don't do it well either. I think they have 7 interceptions and 15 completions.
Yeah. Well,
so,
you know, I mean, you know, we're not going to sit back on them and expect them to throw the football, you know.
But the running back, the number 25, Kalen Lester, he's rushed for right at 1,000 yards this season and is a pretty good player. And we have to respect that. And I'm sure you've got something planned. And our defense has played well at times this year. I think this is a team where maybe we can have some success, don't you?
You know, I think we can, and I think we're better versus the run than we are the pass. I think that's historically the way that we've been since I've been here. Not to say we haven't worked on it, but, you know, we like teams that run the football. We were a big running team, you know, at one point too, so we understand the need to just run the ball, take time off the clock. We just can't allow the big plays. We have to create turnovers. We have to win in special teams. There's some things, and you know, that's one thing about playing somebody that you haven't played before. They don't see the things that we work on and try to execute. So, you know, hopefully they don't get too much from the film that we sent them. And, and be able to take some advantage in the special teams area.
Let's talk a little bit about our personnel. The last game we played at Russellville, Devin Nesbitt left the game in the first half with a thumb injury. I've heard just through the grapevine and visited with him a little bit too that everything seems to be okay with him now.
Yeah, there was not a fracture. We thought that he broke a bone in his thumb, and he did not. There's a tendon issue, but he's been practicing, and it's fine, and everything's good to go.
Anybody else? Have we got anybody else back? Brady Burke. I know there was some thought that he might get back for the playoffs.
He is not back. He's still out. The only one that we got back was Devin.
Yeah. So it was the personnel wise, we're good. Everybody's healthy. That's available and ready to play the first playoff game against Fort Knox.
Everybody that's healthy, yes.
Yeah. What? I assume that means you've got some other issues that you're dealing with, you always do.
Yeah, as we always do. We had a couple guys miss practice, and we'll take care of it. Yeah. And, have to understand that this is a commitment, and we have to be committed to it. And if you can't commit to it, we understand that. That's okay. Yeah. I mean, it's okay. But don't expect everything to be the same when you come back. Yeah. So there's issues we're still dealing with, and it's sad in the – this round of the playoff or in the playoff period that you have to deal with it. But, we do, and it happens because it's commitment, and that's the things we try to teach the kids, not just now, but later on in life. You make a commitment, you better stick to the commitment. Mm-hmm.
This, the coach, we mentioned him, and I want to bring this up too because we do appreciate everybody in the military service. This guy's an old sergeant major. Enlisted man that worked his way up to, I'm pretty sure that's the highest rank you can achieve as an enlisted man. 30 years he spent in the military. And I asked him, I said, Coach, do you bring your military persona to the field? He said, you can't do that with kids these days. he said back when he grew up in Virginia and played football in Virginia, and he said that, that's the way it was. It was like being in the military when he played, but he said, you have to treat kids differently nowadays, and he understands that. He said, I wouldn't have anybody on this team if I brought the military tactics of motivation onto the football field.
Yeah, and I haven't been in the military to be able to look at it and see that, but I can tell you, my dad was a 30-year Air Force man, so I was in the military as far as a military brat, and so I could see it. But I get it. I understand that times have changed. Things have changed, and you just have to go on. You can't do the things that you used to do, and some coaches went far beyond what you should be able to do, and that's why things have changed. But I think the dynamics of the family has changed, and I think that's why kids have changed.
Yeah, sure. Who do we pick to click this week? Who's got to have a good game? Who do you think might have a good game? We always can rely on Ethan Hunt and Hunter Boone. Those guys are kind of the mainstays that we've had. Our running backs have gotten better each week. Our linebacking play has been pretty good most of the time with Gavin and Dylan and some of those other guys. But anybody particular you think, I think this guy's ready to break out and have a good game?
Well, I don't know if there's anybody I said is ready to. I think that the ones that need to, I think very important defensive ends in our corners because they try to get outside.
Beavers and O'Leary.
Beavers, O'Leary, and then you have Cody Belt and Adam Beavers that really need to. Brandon Lamy, Cody Belt, and Brandon Lamy that are corners that they have to make sure that they have open field tackles or make sure they make the play in the open field because they'll try to get outside on us. So it's a misdirection type offense too. So our defensive ends and O'Leary and Beavers, they can't get sucked inside when they think the ball's going to be handed off because the quarterback will pull it, and we can't allow that to happen. So, those are guys I think that are going to have big plays. But, I think probably the biggest key to this success for this week is going to be at Hunter Boone because what they do defensively and what we have to be able to take advantage of he's going to have to make sure that he connects, and then the receivers are going to have to catch the ball, because, you know, our goal is to play quick and get them tired and move them from side to side. So if we can't do that and we keep them in the ball game, then they're going to have a lot of success.
Mm-hmm. Well, they haven't had a lot of success in the past. As we mentioned, they've won 5 games in their last 33. 2 of those were this season, and they were 2 of those were in the last 3 weeks of the season, where they beat Caverna and Shawnee. Now, Caverna and Shawnee, we have to understand, have not won a game this year, so not a whole lot to hang your hat on, but they have they've broken this losing streak that they had, and playing pretty well, I would assume, as far as their standards go. But looking at some of their other scores, Bethlehem beat them 42-8, and Campbellsville 48-6. Those were the other two district games that they lost. And then Fort Campbell, a team that we do have some familiarity with, beat Fort Knox 42-0. And Fort Campbell's not been setting the world on fire this year either.
Yeah, and Chris, I think it's, you know, when you deal with teams that are prone to losing right now, and they have that losing mentality, you're going to have to play, you know, the first quarter.
Yeah, get them down.
And get them down.
Yeah.
And when you get them down, then they'll say, okay, mentality-wise, here it goes again, so why am I going to try? But if you allow them to stay in the game, mm-hmm. and they feel they have something mm-hmm. to play for and success, yeah. it's going to be a battle. And yeah. that's what we have to make sure that we do. Yeah. Get them down quickly.
Yeah, you don't want them to come down here first time. You know, they have no preconceived notion of what Crittenden County football is like. And if they jump up 14-0, hey, this is a team we can beat. They're
that's
like
right.
Caverna.
That's right.
And then that's when the trouble starts. Yeah,
that's right. So we got to send a message early and often.
Yeah, stay on their throats, I guess, is the best way to put it. Well, playoff time once again. And if we win this game, we'll go to Bethlehem most likely. We will. Go to Bethlehem if we win this, because that game they were to play Fulton County, and Fulton County pulled out of the playoffs. So Bethlehem gets a bye. So that's a Bethlehem reminder. That's in Bardstown, Kentucky, and we'll take a closer look at them next week if we get past Fort Knox. So we'll get the Eagles this week. Kickoff at 7 o'clock traditional time, and look forward to a big crowd at Rocket Stadium.
All right, buddy. Thanks.